Hi, I'm Anna Wolska with the Lupus Foundation of America, which is the founder and owner of the open access journal, Lupus Science and Medicine, that is produced by BMJ. On today's episode, we will be discussing the paper, Evaluation of the LFI Real Clinician Reported Outcome and Patient Reported Outcome, Pre-Specified Analysis of the Phase 3 Ustekinumab trial in patients with systemic lupus erythematosus, which was recently published in Lupus Science and Medicine Journal. We are joined by two of the authors of this article, Dr. Anca Askanese, the founder and director of Lupus Center and director of rheumatology clinical trials at the Division of Rheumatology of the Columbia University Irving Center in New York City, and Dr. John Merrill, Director of Clinical Projects, Arthritis and Clinical Immunology Program at Oklahoma Medical Research Foundation in Oklahoma City, and a Chief Advisor for Clinical Development at the Lupus Foundation of America. Dr. Askanese and Dr. Merrill, welcome. Let's begin. What is the Lupus Foundation of America Rapid Evaluation of Activity in Lupus System, the LFA-REAL for short, and how does it differ from the other endpoints used in clinical trials for lupus?
The LFA-REAL is a new lupus disease activity measures. As opposed to other disease activity measures, this was developed to include both a clinician piece and a patient piece. So a clinician-reported outcome and a patient-reported outcomes. It was developed using good psychometric methodology, and we had input from both patients and clinicians in thinking about the LFA-REAL. The clinician-reported outcome piece includes 9 organ domain visual analog scales that look at the individual symptoms and allow for evaluation of the patient progress at the level of individual manifestation, organs, and total disease activity, and can distinguish mild, moderate, and severe disease. The patient-reported outcome generates information on disease activity from a patient's perspective. They are designed in parallel so that we can fully evaluate concordance or discordance between the patient's and the physician's opinion about disease progress.
I'm going to chime in here and say that one of the things that I found intriguing in this instrument as Anca started developing it is that you never ask a patient to evaluate the severity of their disease per se in most patient-reported outcomes. Usually it's about what's your quality of life, how much pain do you have, how do you feel? But you know that FDA has been stressing that you have to try and assess how a patient feels and functions. And disease severity is an important component of that. How this instrument was structured is that what the patient's telling you about is actually quite complementary to what the physician is assessing. For example, most patients didn't go to medical school. They don't know what you're asking when you say, how's their arthritis? So we broke down arthritis into 3 components that physicians actually use when they assess arthritis. So there's joint tenderness, joint swelling, and pain. So the patient is asked one by one to evaluate these things. And then after giving an answer for each of the components of arthritis, they're saying, now summarize those 3 things together as an arthritis score. So in a sense, you're teaching them what the physician's looking for, and then they're going to assess that too. And it's going to be really interesting if the patients come up with a different conclusion about how they're doing than the physician now, because they've kind of been trained to understand what we're looking for. But on the other hand, there's also room for the patients to bring in their own perspective on anything so that it's not forcing them into a slot that they may not fit into.
Got it. Can you provide an overview of your paper and your study
So the purpose of this paper was to, and it's the first time that this new disease activity instrument was evaluated in the setting of an actual phase three clinical trial. We had done work in our clinics. We had done work where lupus investigators and clinicians evaluated disease activity in parallel, but this is the first time that the instrument was included in a phase three registrational trial. Now, unfortunately, the phase three clinical trial for ustekinumab that we were able to include the instrument and evaluate the disease activity measure, the medication didn't work, and the study was stopped early because it became clear that the drug is not efficacious. So we have data at the beginning on all the participants in the trial, but then as the study was stopped at the end of the trial, we don't have data for everyone. So our ability to evaluate progress is not as good as we would have liked it to be. So this was very exciting because we had thought about this, how to evaluate the disease activity in people with lupus from the clinicians and the patient's perspective at the very beginning as this trial was being planned. So this is a pre-specified, you know, we thought about this, we decided what analysis we wanted to do. So it's a very good test of the instrument, yet despite the best intentions, things didn't work out for the drug. Ergo, our data is not as perfect as we would have liked it to be. So as we had noted before, the clinician-reported outcome correlated well with the physician's global assessment. It correlated well with the BILAG and the SLEDAI. So these correlations were in the moderate to high. So there are excellent correlations between the standard disease activity measures used in clinical trials with significant p-values. So we were able to replicate the data that we've had in our clinics in a registrational trial. In addition, the arthritis component of the clinician-reported outcome correlated well with active joint counts, and the mucocutaneous score correlated well with the cutaneous lupus disease activity and severity index. So we were able to further substantiate excellent correlation with the current disease activity measures. Additionally, for the patient component, we were able to show that the patient's component correlated well with the instrument for fatigue, instruments of quality of life, the physical component of SF-36, and then additionally, the clinician and the patient reported outcome showed moderate correlations with each other, suggesting that the two instruments capture similar disease activity and similar metrics from both the patient's and the physician's perspective.
So now, what's the advantage of having this instrument if it's just correlating with everything else? A, it's simpler.
Correct.
It requires far less formal training than some of the outcome measures that are used. It's a little bit more likely because it's easy to understand to retain some face validity, and people will understand when they see the results of the trial what it was that was being measured. So all of those things are good. But there's one more thing. It's theoretically possible that it's either worse or better than the other instruments. The correlations are not perfect. Who's right? Who's closer to reality? And unfortunately, we were not able to figure that out from this trial because the way that the pharmaceutical company set up the trial, there was no gold standard done every month. And then this wasn't done every month to correlate with it so that we couldn't really compare how this is performing versus last month against a gold standard, and then compare that to how the BILAG, for example, would correlate against the last month against a gold standard. That data simply isn't available from this particular trial. So there is much to be done. And in future trials, I think we're going to go after that and try to get a little bit more metric to try to compare this instrument to others.
So I hear that you actually already said there are benefits of using this novel system, LFA REAL, in clinics and research. But what are the problems with current clinical trials for lupus that this system could help to address, and what needs to be done to accomplish this?
Well, one thing that we need to know is what's a good difference between the beginning and the end of the trial on this instrument that would reflect the amount of improvement that's clinically significant. And that kind of work can be done, but it's going to take quite a lot of effort and future research to do it. The current outcome measures for lupus trials work. I mean, if a person gets better, we generally think the instruments will go down if they're scored properly, although they're kind of hard to score and people make a lot of errors on them. And there's a lot of inconsistency between the scoring on them. But we think they work. So the question is, how can we optimize detecting a clinically significant difference? And these instruments that were developed in the past didn't actually ask that question. They just sort of got set up, they got finalized what the outcome measure was. Eminence-based physicians determined, well, if you go from here to here on it, that would be good. And then they tested that to see if it would work. But what we could do with the kind of metric thing that we have is we could ask it a different way around. And we could ask which change actually does reflect the best clinical judgment. And that's not been done before. It's something that isn't done. It's something that needs to be done. And it could make it a better instrument.
Absolutely. But I also want to point out that as opposed to the SLEDA, which it's been used in many registrational clinical trials, it allows for a more graded information. The SLEDA, you have arthritis or you don't. Here, we're able to measure different levels of arthritis where you're going to say, yes, the BILAG can do that.
Well, we can do almost every level, but the BILAG only has several levels. And there's this threshold where if you go over the threshold with minor change, suddenly you're recording a major point change in improvement. So, but again, we need to know what that threshold is for clinical significance. But rather than determine it in advance and then test to see if it works okay, I think we're going to go the other way around. And we're going to say, okay, let's use the instrument and let's have a gold standard for clinically significant change, which is usually physician's opinion, but it could also be a metric physician's opinion where there's sort of a scale of how much change they think there is or how clinically significant they think it is. Determine what the difference should be between the change that would mean the patient significantly better and the change that would fall short of that. So that we determine it through a study, not through being smart and then testing it.
So just to clarify, we're trying to define a clinically meaningful difference.
Yes.
And I think that this has not been done in a systematic way until now, neither from the patient's perspective nor the physician's.
Here we can again incorporate the patient's opinion into what that difference is. We could literally have the patients determine, first of all, what they think is clinically significant on their instrument, but then we can see how much change on the physician's instrument usually accompanies that. So they could actually have input into how much the physician's instrument will change as well.
So basically, it's very important to be able to define clinically significant difference when it comes to.
But again, do it as research instead of as, in other words, if you start with, I think this is clinically significant difference, let's test it. That's fine. And when you test it, it'll show that there was a difference, but you haven't optimized it. So, so the test will be not after you determine what the difference is, the test will determine what the difference is.
Understood. So would you say that this new system, LFA Real system, allows for that?
Yes, because there are 100 points along a scale. Instead of, oh, this is severe, the BILAG will say this is severe, this is moderate, this is mild. But it has these thresholds and you only get three choices, severe, moderate, or mild. So that you jump from severe to moderate awfully easily sometimes, especially in clinical trials where I'm not in the clinic. So if I'm trying to see if the quality of the data is good, I wasn't there and I can't tell. But the SLEDAI, as Anka pointed out before, you either have it or you don't. So it's on off like a light switch, but that's not how disease works. You know, mm-hmm. a lupus patient can feel a little bit better, mm-hmm. somewhat better. Wow, a lot better, right? Or so there are lots of gradations. And what we will be able to do is take those gradations and figure out where the clinically significant cutoff is against a gold standard.
So would you say as well that this is the significance of your study for people living with lupus?
I think this would be the biggest contribution in better understanding how disease progresses and how improvement happens in people with lupus. The ability to have a more nuanced understanding of what levels of better mean, or levels of worse mean for that matter, from both clinicians and patients' perspective.
And be able to actually bring together a physician's and a patient view in describing the same thing. Remember, the patient-reported outcomes are over here in left field, and the physician outcomes are over here in right field. So we get clinical trial results where the physician is saying, or the physicians as a group are saying, yes, the patients are getting better, right? And the patients are saying, no, we're not getting better, but nobody knows what caused the difference. But they're not even being asked the same questions. So here we're sort of integrating everything so that we can get two perspectives on the same issues.
All right. Thank you for your research, Dr. Askanase and Dr. Merrill, and thank you for joining us today.
We'd love to thank Janssen for helping us include the LFA REAL in the ustekinumab trial. We want to thank the Lupus Foundation of America for their support of the development of the LFA REAL. And we want to thank our patients, the patients in the ustekinumab phase 3 trial, and our research teams for making this work possible.
Thank you. That was Dr. Askanase and Dr. Merrill describing the research on the evaluation of the novel systemic lupus erythematosus disease activity instrument, the LFA-REAL system, in the phase 3 randomized placebo-controlled study of ustekinumab in patients with active systemic lupus erythematosus. I'm Anna Wolska. Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to tune into the next episode of our podcast.